Welcome back to the show. Let's go. Line number four. Say good morning to the president of the NLTA. That's Dean Ingram. Good morning, Dean.
Good morning once again, Patty.
Welcome back to the show. There's always going to be some issues that need to be dealt with inside the education system, but some of them are really pressing and pressing today. So the issue surrounding substitute teachers, exactly what are you hearing that's going on with the administrators trying to find a sub?
Well, unfortunately, this is not a new issue.
No, it's not.
We've had previous discussions directly between myself and you and other media outlets. We've been raising this issue for a number of years, and COVID has certainly crystallized that problem. Since March, we've been exchanging correspondence, both the federal and provincial governments. And in that correspondence, we did raise a concern, and we did warn that in the absence of measures taken to assist our substitute teachers, we would see a problem arise. And right now, regrettably, that's exactly what we're seeing in our school system.
So vice principals, by and large, are in charge of finding the sub. So are they just having a long morning trying to find one, going down through their call list? Or are we actually seeing a lot of examples where they are unable to find a substitute teacher and other arrangements have to be made in school on a particular school day?
Both are certainly applicable. Yes, administrators are having an extraordinary long time trying to find substitute teachers. I've had reports of an administrator making as many as 60 phone calls in the morning trying to actually find a substitute for their school. At the end of the day, we also have reports that that administrator exhausts the list they have available to them and not able to find some, which means that ripples back through the school system. Our students and our schools have had enough disruption through COVID. What we're seeing now with teachers having to adopt other duties, of course, if they're moving to adopt the duties of a colleague who's absent for leave purposes, that means those other duties are not getting completed, be it an administrator, be it a school counselor, be it an IRT, and the list goes on. We see reports of possibly doubling up of classes. Again, irrespective of COVID and the what that does, the potential cohort situation, that creates problems. We don't want to see a situation where the doubling of classes, students sent home, school closure, which we are seeing reports of in other jurisdictions. In fact, this afternoon, I'm re-engaging with a national board meeting, and these are the things we're seeing in other jurisdictions. As we've discussed several times, this province is in a good place with regards to COVID. It absolutely is. And the more tightly we adhere to the COVID measures, including maintaining cohorts, the more likely we are to keep things where they will be. I'm pleased to see other stakeholders raising the issue and echoing the concerns we've been raising since March. We're also pleased to see some move from a government standpoint. But these are things there. We need to adopt interim measures, but we also need to look at retainment as well.
Are there one particular or two particular regions that are having a worse time with the substitute teacher issue? Because, I mean, people would automatically think, well, here in the metro region with so much of the population and so much of the student population, but I would imagine some smaller communities, it might even be a bigger problem, is it?
It certainly has been a much longer standing issue in the rural parts of the province, without question. What we're seeing now is that because of the dynamics, because of the impact that COVID have had on substitute teachers, I know of several, I won't name them directly, of course, but several substitute teachers have reached out to me and they've left their profession altogether. They've started teaching online English. I know of several that said they've actually taken retail jobs. Some others have actually moved into taking jobs in early childhood educator in different daycare centers around the province because they were in such a precarious situation financially. And these were the concerns we were raising with the federal authorities, provincial authorities, going back to last spring. So it's becoming more and more of an issue, and I'm pleased to see the move on the interim measures. I think these provide interim supports, the access to retired teacher, and I would commend that move. The move, these term substitute positions, I think these floater positions create some dynamics would be helpful. But we also have to be mindful of the dynamics that our substitute teachers are facing, irrespective of COVID, and how that's having an impact on retaining them in the profession. This province cannot afford to lose any more young professionals, and by and large, young professionals, what we mention, how we describe our substitute teachers.
Planning for the future, right? I mean, so this is not a new problem. Do we have, like for instance, at the RNC, they have a real specific understanding of how many people are going to retire next year, the year after, and the year after that. But, I mean, I know it's a floating target, and you can choose to retire prior to your 30 years if you choose. But Do we really understand the age demographic with the province's teachers? And is there any sort of associated plan with ensuring that we don't dip into these situations? Maybe there's plans there that we just haven't been able to satisfy, but do we have these?
The last data I've seen is that we look at the number of people that are going into education. In fact, I think I raised this on your show last year, is that the number of applicants for education has declined. That's based on the stats I've seen from last year. The number of applicants from university going into these programs had declined. The same number of times are going up. Then the question becomes that why is that happening? What I can say is that recruitment of educators is becoming an international problem. It's certainly a national problem. It's certainly a regional problem. These are things that are, and if this province wants to ensure that, A, they recruit people to go into the teaching profession, and it's a very proud profession. My son is actually pursuing that himself directly. But we also have to look at why is the people aren't pursuing it. What are the working conditions? We need a competitive package for those educators to look at education as a career path. These are things long-term. You're absolutely right. We had to think strategically. We had to think long-term. And how is that we can move past these dynamics so that education becomes a career of choice for many of our best and brightest, as it should be.
Now, some people would have it in their heart. That's what they want to be. They want to be a teacher. But also, for many, when you're leaving high school or when you're in high school and plotting your future and considering where you'd like to attend post-secondary, if you're so inclined, it's whether or not you can get a job. So, you know, it's fine to have a thirst for knowledge, and I'm glad that many people are exactly like that. But certainly the be-all and end-all for some, is, let's be honest, is whether or not I get a job. So if there's teaching jobs available, what is it? Because it can't be just about the rate of pay or it can't be just about work conditions. You would imagine that teaching as a noble profession that it is would see more interest. So can you put your finger on why we're having a hard time seeing enrollment numbers on an uptick versus going the other way?
Well, I think there's a number of things to plan. Again, the working conditions have become much more demanding. We look at stats, and again, this is something that's actually come up at the National Board of Parliament, the mental health situation. In fact, there was a national survey that showed the stressors that educators are under at present. But mental health concerns, stress concerns among educators across the globe is not a new thing. There's numerous articles showing that. These are the things that are adding to it. So my son, he decided to pursue this career with his eyes wide open, and I do believe this is a very noble career, and I've enjoyed my career, and I'm looking forward to that final determination into my presidency, returning back to the classroom. But it's becoming more and more challenging for people to, as you mentioned, find employment, but there's also the stressors and workload dynamics that are actually impacting on people's decision to go there. I have a nephew who's a very strong student, very strong mathematics. He decided that he wanted to pursue engineering instead of education, for the simple reason that his quality of life, the stressors in that, and engineering can be a very stressful dynamic in and of itself for that reason.
Yeah, it's all very troubling. And of course, I'm married to a teacher and I see the work that goes into it. I also hear far too much in the way of negativity surrounding the profession. You know, whether it be, and there are concerns, and I think fair concerns, about the number of professional learning days, about it, you get the summer off and all that. Unless you are living with or a close family friend or married to a teacher, you probably don't see exactly how much work is entailed and the importance of it. You needn't be involved or married to a teacher to understand how important the profession is. So we got to get this right. So short-term solve, I'm not sure where it is, but a long-term plan has got to be obviously in place.
We need to think longitudinally. These are the things there. And just to reiterate a point that I made last week, it's certainly important to recognize that as that we need to think about that. The 10:30 this morning, I understand there's going to be a significant announcement by government on the immigration file.
Mm-hmm.
As we mentioned, I believe we mentioned this in our discussion last week, is that it's one thing to attract immigrants to the province. The more important piece is retaining those same individuals. The likelihood of a family staying is directly correlated to the degree to which they feel their children are being supported. One of the most effective means supporting a young family, ensuring their education system has access to what they need. And just by way of point, we can look at kind of the recruitment issues and retainment. You mentioned that why? Well, I just think a Newfoundland teacher, take 11 years experience with 5 years university training, they're the lowest paid in the country. Lowest paid in the country. And this is the competitive nature that with a global demand and a national demand, a regional demand for educators, these are things that some of our new young professionals will be evaluating. And we need to ensure that we not just only recruit, we also retain.
Well, that's the trick, isn't it? Dean, it's good to have you on the program. Let's see if there's going to be anything that can happen here. And, you know, I'll have substitute teachers also tell me that, you know, we're hearing stories of you can't get a sub, but I'm on the sub list and no one called me.
There are logistical concerns, and these are discussions we are engaging with. I think there's two pieces of that. There are some logistical dynamics about how substitute lists that are available for call-ins by a school administrator generate, and our staff is engaging to work through those logistical concerns. And we're looking forward to having interim solutions. I would absolutely agree. These are the things I'm hearing as well. We have schools where they can't find a sub, and I also hear reports of a substitute saying, well, I was available and didn't get the call. These are logistical things that it not just had to be worked through, they must be worked through. It's too important for the system to not get them worked through.
100%. Dean, thanks for your time this morning.
Always a pleasure.
Fine. Take care. Bye-bye. Dean Ingram is the president of the NLTA. Okay, let's go ahead and take a break for the news. When we come back, we are speaking with you.